You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
The past decade has established the strong initial momentum to transform the energy system around the world for the decades ahead. We see the scaling of nascent technologies in renewables and an increased focus on climate change, really fixing global attention firmly on the decarbonization of energy systems. But the journey is far from over. In fact, the World Economic Forum's Fostering Effective Energy Transition 2021 report released today reveals that as of 2018, 81% of the world's energy was still supplied by fossil fuels. Global greenhouse gas emissions rose through 2019, and more than 770 million people around the world still lack access to electricity. So the transformation of our energy systems needs to increase its momentum if we're to achieve our critical objectives such as the UN Sustainable Development Goals and the Paris Agreement. A decade into the transition certainly marks a new high, but acceleration is required. That's a takeout from the report. It's the 10th anniversary of the World Economic Forum's benchmarking of countries on their energy transition progress. And I'm joined now by Harsh Vijay Singh, Project Lead System Initiative on Shaping the Future of Energy at the World Economic Forum. Welcome to the show, Harsh. The energy transition is getting front page attention here in South Africa as we've been battling crippling blackouts since 2008 and vested interests in transitioning away from coal to renewables. Just tell me a little bit more about the background to this annual energy transition index.
At the World Economic Forum, we have benchmarked countries on their progress towards energy transition for over a decade now. And essentially, we measure their progress along two key things. One, how are the energy systems performing today on three distinct imperatives: environmental sustainability, energy access and security, and economic development and growth? So these three taken together constitute what we call the energy triangle, and this is an assessment of where the country's energy systems stand today. Next, we take a step forward, and we also look at where are countries positioned to transition to a future energy system that is secure, sustainable, affordable, and inclusive. And for that, we consider a set of factors that we term as enablers, which are both related to energy, but are also related to the policy environment, investment climate, and infrastructure, innovation, etc. So two things: where do countries stand today, and how ready are they to transition to a secure and sustainable energy future?
So on that first point, what strides are we making on those three points of the triangle: energy access and reliability, environmental sustainability, and the ability to pivot into the future?
Great question. So taken together, these three elements constitute the complexity of the energy transition, and that is inherent part of the problem. Each country, regardless of where they are, what their starting points are, what their economic situation or socioeconomic priorities are, they all have a set of trade-offs to make. And as we keep solving problems, we also create some more problems that need to be solved. So which is why we stress that countries need to follow a balanced approach, which considers all these three key priorities that I mentioned as they make progress on their energy transition. The good news is that over the past decade, on all of these three dimensions, globally we have made progress. Now, there are a bit of variances in which countries have progressed more on what dimension and such, but on an aggregate level, globally, we have made progress on all three dimensions: economic development and growth, environmental sustainability, and energy access and security. The most development has been in energy access and security, and that is largely due to the tremendous gains made in over the last decade and more on access to electricity programs, mainly in sub-Saharan Africa, as well as in emerging and developing Asia.
That is encouraging. Just to interject on that point, there are still, and to the introductory comments, still over 700 million people who lack access to reliable power. So still some way to go there. On the environmental score, though, and I think it's important that you take this balanced approach, because I worry we talk a lot about ESG and environmental social governance concerns. And in South Africa, we focus a lot on the E. But the big concern as we transition It should be on the S, on the social impacts of transitioning coal workers out of coal mines into new value chains in renewable energy systems. What sort of progress are we making globally, firstly, to decarbonize our energy systems?
The progress is very encouraging. More than 70% of the countries that we do track have made progress on this component that we track on environmental sustainability. And it is across a different individual indicators. For example, a metric called energy intensity, which measures that what is the amount of energy being used to produce a unit of GDP. That's the relation between energy and economic growth. Even on that metric, we are making progress. The global average energy intensity of GDP has declined by 15% over the past decade. And this has been across the board in developed economies as well as emerging economies. Although on an absolute level, their scores vary. Developed economies have lower energy intensities because of the nature of their economic output than emerging economies. Additionally, if you look at the share of renewable energy, solar PV installation has grown sevenfold in the last decade, and wind has grown by threefold. There have been a lot of improvements made in battery storage technology development as well, and it is also primed to take off. Electric vehicles, although it's a small share of the total passenger vehicles today, but it has increased rapidly from around 500,000 in 2010 to more than 1 million today on the road. Okay. So we have made great strides on environmental sustainability, but the challenge remains large to be solved.
And we do see a divergence with the leading countries. No surprise that we see the Scandinavian countries leading the pack and many developed countries, while emerging and developing countries are still some way behind. Where does South Africa rank in all of this?
So as per the 2021 index ranking, South Africa is placed at 110th out of 115 countries.
Which is right at the bottom of the class.
Not so good.
Not good at all, but clearly because we still are so heavily reliant on coal as our primary fuel. When it comes to these energy transitions, I mean, they take decades, if not hundreds of years, and yet here we are in a situation where we've got this commitment or this big, hairy, audacious goal for net carbon zero by 2050. What are the inherent tensions that you see in this that will require solving? Or what are the challenges, to frame it differently, to achieving this goal? And how do we do it faster this time around?
Sure. So I'd go back to the point that I made before on the complexity of the transition. And that also results from the way energy is being used and consumed, not just across the economy, but in our daily lives as well. So a goal such as net zero by 2050 requires nothing short of complete social and economic mobilization. So we have to have a multi-pronged approach that considers solving not just for the sustainability problem, but also how to maintain the contribution of energy to economic growth, and also while maintaining the energy security and reliability. Because we do want lights on at all times. We do want that to be affordable. And we also want energy to continue supporting economic growth like it has been doing over the past century. As countries continue to embark on the 2050 goals, including South Africa, I think from now onwards, it would need a sector-specific long-term roadmap and with interim milestones on how to track this progress. And as these roadmaps are drawn, it is important not just to consider solving for the energy transition's sustainability issue, but also the security issue and the economic growth issue.
That is critical. What do you see as the role of natural gas in the transition? If we're to contextualize it within a developing country context such as South Africa, is one where it's economically, we're a country that has relied heavily on coal for economic growth and an industrial type of growth. What role do you see natural gas playing in getting us through the transition into fully renewable by 2050?
Purely on emissions profile, natural gas is much cleaner than coal, and some countries have found this to be to their advantage, most notably the United States. So over the past decade, the United States has drastically reduced the carbon footprint from its power system, which has been mainly due to the substitution of coal with natural gas. So gas has played a strong role there. Although I have to mention that U.S. is in a position where it has got abundant supply of domestically available natural gas. So the costs also work in their favor. And as a bridging fuel, not as a destination fuel, but as a bridging fuel, gas has played a key role there. We also see now increasingly the capacity of LNG. Many countries, specifically in Asia, the Asian economies in the Far East, have found this, which are also import reliant, by the way, have found this to their advantage, and they're investing into LNG infrastructure, which is cleaner than, let's say, burning coal. So as a bridging fuel in transition, when it is supposed to substitute coal, gas has got some potential. It also plays a role of offering flexibility to the market, let's say, where there is large variable electricity supply. Then in order to maintain reliability of the grid and to provide flexibility services, natural gas has also played a key role in those countries.
I think very important insight that, as a lot of the discourse in South Africa is led by various interest groups, lobby groups who want to go in one particular direction in favor of their preferred technologies. And I'm sure we see this all around the world, Harsh. Through transitions, you're going to, if you change a system, see some winners and losers because of vested interests. How, in terms of the lessons that we've learned over the last 10 years and looking into the future, how would you suggest that a small, open, emerging economy like South Africa manages these vested interests through a just energy transition?
So South Africa was one of the countries who identified early on the issue of just energy transition. As a matter of fact, in 2015, when countries initially submitted their NDCs, then South Africa was the only country to have emphasized the importance of just transition in its initial determined contribution NDCs. And hence, the level of discourse on just transition in South Africa remains far advanced, and that is great. And recently, that has also been coupled with political commitment and regulations to that effect. As far as vested interests go, that is not specific only to energy, but I think every industry, every part of the economy, we have similar challenges. And in the end, what wins is what is most effective, most suitable to solve that problem. So given the level of technology advancement, the cost competitiveness of renewable energy, as well as the international shift in opinion and investment towards a particular set of technologies as opposed to the others, I think over a period of time, things do tend to fall in place where it's more rational to do so.
Harsh Vijay Singh, Project Lead System Initiative on Shaping the Future of Energy at the World Economic Forum. Thank you very much for your time in sharing some insights into the report published today.
Thank you, Michael.
Fostering Effective Energy Transitions 2021.